On and off, I've been speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. So I beg your indulgence that I may continue to do so this evening. Name 304 of Vishnu Sahasranama, depending on the counting system that you are, how the names are analyzed. It'll be different in some renditions. Number 304 is Mahashana. Maha, you all know the word very well, means great. Ashana means eater, so he's a big eater. The Ramanuja Sampradaya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, Sri Parashara Bhatta, he analyzes the this series of names that we're going through now as names of Krishna when he lies on the banyan leaf in the waters of devastation. As you may remember from reading Bhagavatam and also it's related in Mahabharata, that Markandeya Rishi saw or experienced being sucked into the mouth of Krishna with all the cosmic manifestation. So that's a big eater. Someone may be a big eater, but they can't eat as much as Krishna. He eats up the whole universe as a baby. He breathes it in. So that's Krishna. He's a big eater. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes said about Jesus Christ, and sometimes about Krishna also, because it was sometimes brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention when Srila Prabhupada said that the Christians, they should follow Christ, thou shalt not kill, but they're killing animals. So it's sometimes brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention that according to the New Testament, or at least according to present translations of the New Testament, Jesus is purported to have ate flesh food. And Srila Prabhupada said in this regard, well, he could eat the whole world if he liked. He's being a powerful person. He can eat what he likes. So, and about Krishna, Krishna can eat anything that he likes, but he asks for patrang pushpang palam toyam, leaf, flower, fruit, and water. So Krishna can eat everything, and in one sense, he does devour everything, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Grasishnu, Grasishnu Prabhavishnu cha. Grasishnu means he devours everything. But then again, Prabhavishnu, he makes everything appear again. So Krishna is a great eater. Of course, famous in Mahabharata as a great eater is Bhimsen. But actually, Krishna is the greatest eater. We have from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a section in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is invited to take lunch with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who in a short time, he invites Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the morning, and by midday, he and his wife have cooked up a massive feast, supplemented with Jagannath Prasad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, everyone's requested to turn off their cell phone. Let's see how many times I have to say it during this lecture. It's usually three or four. But it would be nice if everyone just... if anyone hasn't yet turned off their cell phone, please do so now. Thank you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was invited to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he saw huge amounts of prasadam. And he was the only one invited to take food there. So it looked like it was all meant for him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that there's so much food here, I just can't eat it all. Bhattacharya said, ha ha. Hare Krishna. It is discouraging. Savam Bhattacharya said, I know how much you can eat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is playing the role of a sannyasi who's not supposed to eat much. He told Raghunath Das Goswami, Vairagi Bhai, what is that? Vairagi Bhai Grama Kotha Na Shunibe Kane. Bangla Kotha. Gramakotana shunibe jobe milibeyane bhalona kaibe ar bhalona parebe sharvada radha krishna lila shunibe. That's not exactly correct. Anyway, the point is bhalona, he should not eat very well. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was setting that example, but he got caught. Savabhoma Bhattacharya, he presented the actual truth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that at Nilachala, which was where they were, at Jagannath Puri, you take food 52 times a day. And each time you eat hundreds of buckets, Srila Prabhupada has translated this, filled with prasad, filled with food. Have you seen at Puri, they have these big pots. Everything is cooked in the pot and brought to Jagannath. Big, big pot, so many. So that's at Puri. And then at Dwaraka, he has 16,000 and a few more queens in 16,000 palaces, and they all feed him every day. He also has 18 mothers, the wives of Vasudeva, and numerous friends and relatives of the Yadu dynasty who invite Krishna regularly, come, and Krishna never refuses. If you also have love like the residents of Dwaraka, then if you invite Krishna, he will never refuse. So there are so many devotees offering Krishna food. Even right now, somewhere in the world, someone is offering, many people probably offering Krishna food to eat, and he eats it. Ashnami, he says. His name is Mahashana. So Krishna says, Patang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami ait prayatatmanaha. One who's following the rules and regulations of bhakti and is properly purified. So in Dwaraka, he's busy eating. In Puri, he's busy eating. In Vrindavan, you also have your father's elder brothers, your father's younger brothers, maternal uncles, husbands of your father's sisters, and many cowherd men. There are also cowherd boyfriends, and you eat twice a day, morning and evening, in the house of each and every one. And he has his lunch pack also, tiffin, for lunchtime. And in the meantime, there are different fruits in Vrindavan as he's going through the forest. They'll be prepared for him. So what does he eat? This shukta shakadi bhaji nalita kushmanda dali dalna dugda tumbi dadhi mocha khanda. So many items are described. That's his breakfast. Because at midday he's out in the cow herding pastures. So where does he get time to eat so much? And you'd think he'd be completely finished after eating, and it would take so much time, but in Krishna's time, there's time for everything. There's time for eating, there's time for dancing, there's time for joking, there's time for playing, there's time for cowherding. There's not much time for sleeping, just a little time for sleeping. So Krishna, eating is a very important activity for Krishna. So those who have deities of Krishna, they have to feed him. If you don't treat him like a tapasvi, even if the devotee wants to be austere, he himself may be austere, but he has to feed Krishna very nicely. Krishna's used to good food and lots of it, often. So in worshipping the deity, we have to feed him 6 times a day. That's the standard for deity worship. Then during the Govardhan Puja, Krishna ate so many stacks of rice. What else? So many places Krishna is eating. Wherever we've heard that saying, Aham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. He's not exactly in Vaikuntha. Well, he is in Vaikuntha also. There Lakshmi also cooks for him. But he says, I don't live in Vaikuntha. I don't live in the hearts of the yogis. Wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, there I reside. So he's also there for eating. Because that is enjoyment, and Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And the devotees take pleasure in giving pleasure to Krishna. So they cook nice foods for Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And then they take the remnants. First, Jashomati agyapaye dhanishchara nito Shri Krishna prasad radha bunje hoye prita. First of all, on the order of Yashoda Devi, Dhanishta, one's female servant in the house of Nanda Maharaj, she brings what Krishna has taken, and Radha takes the remnants. And this, even though Krishna eats a lot, after Radha has taken, there's still more. So Lalita Adi Shaki Gon Avashesopai. Then all the other gopis they take there. So there's no shortage. No shortage for Krishna takes a lot, he leaves a lot. Mane mane shuke radha Krishna gunagai. So Krishna eats a lot. How much does he eat? We can't measure. So we should feed Krishna very nicely. Very nice food. He eats more. Also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's one incident described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the devotees from Bengal would come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri every year. They were all householders actually. So naturally they like to give him some food. So they all brought some different long-lasting foods, among which Raghavera Jhali, the bags of foods prepared by Damayanti, the sister of Raghava Pandit, that was very famous. So all kinds of long-lasting foods. In Hindi, you'd call that achar. And then all the pickles, long-lasting, some sweets. And there's one thing that you only get in Bengal. I've never seen anywhere else. Kashundi. That's some kind of, something like a pickle. Only Bengalis know what that is. How to describe it? It's liquid, made with ground mustard seeds. Sometimes they put some other things like ginger in it. It has a very strong flavor. So all these things were prepared and they were given to Govinda, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant. Actually, there are two Govindas. In his household life, he had a servant called Govinda. And later on, his godbrother served him in his sannyas life. So they all gave so many things to Govinda, and there was a whole room full of all different items, and he was supposed to give to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he had a lot every day, Prabhupada described it, but a lot, it's all relative. He's had a huge body compared to other people. So he had large quantities, it seemed. But Govinda he thought, I can't give all of this to Mahaprabhu because it's too much. There's a whole room full of prasada items. So he came to one time to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that You see, all the devotees gave me so much prasadam to give you, but there's just so much I can't give. I'm just giving a little bit from Raghava Pandits. So, but all every day the devotees come to me and say, did you give? Hare Krishna. Three times. Please turn your cell phone off. Anyway, it's useless. No one. Those who don't want to, don't. So Govinda said that devotees come to me eagerly and ask, did you give the items that I gave you to Mahaprabhu? And Govinda said that what to do? I don't want to disappoint them, so I have to lie and tell them, yes, yes, I gave it, and I don't feel very good about this. What should I do? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he said, okay, this is just after he'd taken prasad. So he said, okay, just bring it all. All? Yeah, bring it all. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate it all. He said, just item by item he brought it and said, this was given by such and such a devotee, this was given by someone else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it, and when he had taken most of it, he said, is there anything left? And Govinda said, there's just the items of Raghava Pandit. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, leave that, I'll take a little bit every day. So he can eat the whole world. We cannot eat. We can eat a limited amount. However hungry we may be, there comes a point where eating, when we're very hungry and we eat, we are so nice. But then there comes a point when no more. When even the nicest food, to think of eating it seems to us horrible. There comes a point if we stuff our belly to that extent. But Krishna, he can go on and on and on eating. So we see that, or he cannot eat at all, as he likes. He takes, why does he eat? To give pleasure to his devotees. The wonderful thing about Krishna, he eats, but at the same time, he leaves everything. Generally, when he eats, he leaves everything. So atheists, they doubt that we offer food to Krishna and we come back and the food is still there. So atheists, they doubt that Krishna has eaten, but he eats. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashanti panti kalyanti chirangjagat. He can eat by his eyes. Just by seeing, he eats. Baladev Vidya Bhushan, the Gauriya Vaishnav commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, gives a completely different meaning for the name Mahashana, the big eater, the great eater. He gives the meaning that he who is full of transcendental knowledge, opulence, and renunciation. So that's a different meaning. Name 305 is Adrishya. Now, according to Parashara Bhatta, this is also one of the names of the baby Krishna on a banyan leaf. That I suppose we can understand because that's during the time of Pralayam, of destruction, when all the living beings, they don't have form, so they don't see him in that form. Who saw him in that form? Markandeya Rishi. And other rishis, Vyasadev, he saw, he described it. But Baladev says that the four names from beginning with this name, Adrisha. Adrisha means cannot be seen, invisible. He says that these names are names of Kalki. So Adrisha, we can understand from the sense that in this Kali Yuga, he hasn't come yet. In terms of the present time in which we live, all the other avatars have come, but Kalki is yet to come. And he's also not seen much, because to see him is what? There's a saying, to see such and such a person is to love them. But in the case of Kalki avatar, to see him is to be killed by him. So you don't see much. You see and then, boop, head's chopped off. Very quickly. That's described about Parashuram. He was killing with his axe. He was killing the demon. It was moving at the speed of mind. It was going so fast that just there was this, in a second there'd be hundreds and thousands of demons killed. So Adrisha, and of course this name is true of all forms of Bhagavan. He's not seen. We don't see him. People say, show me God, show me God. He's not seen. He's invisible. He hides himself from the non-devotees. Nahang prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita murho yang na bijana ti loko mama jamapya. Krishna says, I am not visible to the mudhas, not to everyone. The foolish people, they cannot see Krishna because they don't understand him. They don't have the qualification to see him. Their quality is premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Qualification to see him is love. One can see him by love. If one doesn't have love for Krishna, then he won't see Krishna. Even Duryodhana apparently saw Krishna, but he didn't. He just thought Krishna is just some, from Duryodhana's perspective, Krishna was just some troublesome person. This Krishna is always causing so much trouble. Friend of the Pandavas. Duryodhana didn't like him at all. In Kunti's prayers, Krishna is described as, what is that? He's covered. What is that verse? Alakshanam Sarnanatha. Tata Paramahamsa. That's the next verse after that. What does that come? Maya Javani Kachanam. She's covered by the curtain of Maya. That in modern Indian languages we usually say for curtain parda, but the Sanskrit word is Java. Maya Javani Kachanam. Maya Javani Kachanam. What's wrong? Maya Javani Kachanam. It's not at home. Adhokshaya abhayam. Murho. Mudho. Nator. Nalaksha sarva bhutanam. Nator natyadharo yata. Again, the dramatic. Maya javani kachanam. Adhokshaja abhayam. Adhokshavyaya abhayam. So the example is given just like an actor on a stage. He's seen but not seen. That's described, an example is given when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing pastimes of, he was acting. So he took the role of Lakshmi. And even his own mother didn't recognize him. He was playing the part so well. So he was dressed up as Lakshmi. So he wasn't recognized. So in this, when someone takes a role in a drama, they may not be recognized by someone who knows them. They may speak in a different intonation of voice, and they'll be dressed in a different way, and their whole attitude, persona will be different. So, Krishna is like that. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's not, he's maybe seen, even just like Duryodhana saw him, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't understand who he is. Similarly, there in the Bhagavatam, it is said that Saharamen, Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartyani bhagavan gurhakaha. That's the word. Gurhakapata manushaha. So Krishna and Balaram, they are not humans. They're beyond the platform of humans. But they played pastimes as if they were humans. They were gurha, they were disguised as if they were human beings, but they're not. So in this way, Krishna is unseen. Often people ask us, have you seen God? Can you see God? Is it possible to see God? These are common questions. So I often answer that by saying that yes, everyone sees God all the time because nothing is different from God. So in one sense we're always seeing, but we don't have the eyes to recognize Him. So He's everywhere. We should be able to see Him everywhere. We can begin to see Him how? By Jnana Chakshu or Shastra Chakshu. By Jnana Chakshu, we can begin to see reality as it is. Utkramantang stitang vapi punjanam vagunanvitam vimura nanu pashyanti pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha. How we are going from body to body to body. We leave one body and go to another body. Foolish people cannot see this, but who can see this? Those who see with the eye of knowledge. So we can begin to see Krishna through the eyes of knowledge. Srila Prabhupada sometimes commented that people ask us, show me God. Srila Prabhupada often commented that, yes, we can see God, but we have to see Him in the way He tells us to see Him. In the beginning, in our present stage of consciousness, we can see Him how rasoham apsukanteya prapashmi shashi suryoho pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke parusham rishu. We can experience God as the taste in water, as the light of the sun and the moon, as the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, and the sound in ether and the ability in man, and so many other similar ways of perceiving Krishna are given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Balang balapatang chaham kama raga vivarjitam. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. So many tejas vinamaham among the vigorous people, I am the vigor. Buddhir bhudimatam asmi, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So in this way we can begin to see God. So everyone can see Him. Everyone should see Him. But those who don't want to see Him, they will never see Him. Just like Duryodhana, he had all evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he refused to believe it. So Krishna is unseen to who? To those who do not want to see him, to those who are unqualified to see him. So another way adrishya can be interpreted is inscrutable, impossible to understand. Why is Krishna lying on a banyan leaf in the water of destruction, in baby Krishna form? Well, who will understand? He likes to do that. He doesn't have to explain himself to anyone. He doesn't have to come begging to the atheist, please believe in me, I'm really God. He does what he likes, as he likes, how he likes, when he likes, with whom he likes. He sets the terms and conditions. And people say, well, Krishna, he told Arjuna to kill Karna, it wasn't dharma, and that makes so many objections. But he makes the terms and conditions, he's not bound by them. He does whatever he likes. He's independent in all respects. So, adrishya. He cannot, with the present mind and senses we have, we cannot see Krishna. With eyes that are looking for sense enjoyment, we will not see Krishna. We have to have purified senses. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyahi Sivon Mukhe Hijivadu Swayameva Spuratyada. Our present senses will not see Krishna because we want to see things in the attitude of enjoying them for ourselves. But Krishna is not meant for our enjoyment, we are meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So when we realize that, then our senses become purified and then we can experience Krishna. As long as we're thinking what I can get from Krishna, how I can utilize Krishna in my sense gratification, either directly or indirectly, then Krishna never reveals himself to us. But as soon as we think, how can I please Krishna? What should I do to please Krishna? Then Krishna reveals himself to us. Even if we are blind, like Bilva Mangal Thakur blinded himself, but he captured Krishna in his heart. And Krishna would run away from him. Bilva Mangal would say, you can run away, but you can't run away from my heart because I captured you there. So all these points we can construe from the understanding that Krishna is adrishya, invisible. The next name is Vyaktarupaha, whose form is manifest, which is exactly the opposite to the name adrishya. He's adrishya and he's Vyaktarupa, manifest form. Manifest means you should be able to see. Otherwise, what's the meaning of manifest? So we'll find that it's very common in this Vishnu Sahasranama, we'll find names that are apparently quite contradictory to each other. He's Drishya and he's Adrishya. He's both. He's visible and he's invisible. Both are true. All apparent contradictions are harmonized in him. We shouldn't try to understand him through our own logical or empiric analysis. With our tiny little brains, the tiny little intelligence, we have made up rules of science, how to acquire knowledge, empiricism. Is it very interesting what's going on over there? Everyone's looking over as if there's some drama going on or something. Well, I guess that's why it's difficult to see Krishna, because we can't keep our attention on the topic. Even we've come here for the very purpose of hearing about Krishna, and if there's any little distraction, even someone just making up an aarti plate, which isn't very interesting, or very unusual, well, it's interesting because it's for the service of Krishna, but that how the attention goes away. So Krishna is Vyakta Rupa. He is manifest. Those who say there's no God, to them he's invisible. But they will get to see him also. Mrityu Sarvaharaschaham. As the form of death, he comes and takes everything that they think is theirs, which is never theirs anyway, takes it all away. So they get to see him. If atheists ask you that, well, can you see God? Is it? Yeah, you'll also see. But when you see, it will be in a form and a manner that will not be pleasing to you. It'll be too late for you to utilize your life in the service of him. Of course, those who see Krishna in the form of death, they don't recognize this is Krishna. That's not a pleasing form. So for Kalki also, the demons and atheists, they deny the existence of God. Then they get to see him in the form of Kalki. Just a few nights ago, some group of Muslims came to see me, and they'd asked about the description of Kalki in Bhavishya Purana means he comes on a white horse with a sword and kills the bad people. So one Zakiya Nayak has said, well, that's a description of Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him. Although there's a lot of not peace going on in his name. So they equate, but then I said, well, if you accept that from the Vedic scriptures, then you should accept all the rest of the Vedic scriptures also. Why only one statement? But another point is that he's supposed to come in 427,000 years. So although there's someone else from Tamil Nadu, where else, who claims to be Kalki Avatar in the present time. Well, he doesn't have any symptoms of being an avatar whatsoever. In fact, he has all the symptoms of being a very seriously conditioned soul. But the actual Kalki Avatar comes 427,000 years later. So he's not seen at the present time, but he will be seen. Don't doubt, he will come. So he is seen, he's not seen by most of the jivas, but he is seen by Markandeya Rishi. So he's vyakta and avyakta, he's manifest and not manifest. He manifests to those he wants to show himself to. So to those who he doesn't want to show himself to, he's adrishya, unseeable, invisible. To those he wants to manifest himself to, he shows himself. Sevonmukhe, those who want to serve him, Krishna is eager to accept their service. To those who want to deny him or blaspheme him or ignore him, he doesn't go to them. We also have this tendency, it's a natural tendency, because we are samples of God. If people deal with us nicely, then and they respect us and they like us, then we like to mix with them And if someone treats us very roughly and calls us bad names, then why should we make any endeavor to mix with them? If we know someone is against us, then why should we say, oh, shall we, let's go out together to some engagement? Why don't you want to mix with such a person? So Krishna also, he doesn't show himself to those who deny him or hate him, but he likes to mix with people who like him and who like to serve him, because that's the constitutional position of the jiva, to serve Krishna. So, is Krishna adrishya or is he vyakta rupa? Is he invisible or is he manifest? Well, to some extent, it's both things are true, but from the jiva's perspective, it's up to us. How do we want Krishna? Do we want him to remain invisible? There are many people who believe in God, but not too much. Have you heard that one before? It's good to be religious, but not too much. It's good to be religious. You see, be religious and then you're good, and then you don't drink and smoke. So it's good to be religious, but not too much, because then you become a fanatic and you spend all your time praying and you don't want to go to the good pious Hindus. They go, they have one day a week the whole family goes to the temple, another day in the week they go to the cinema together, and like this. So everything balanced. So it's good to believe in God, but not too much. So they want a God who is adrishya. They want a God that, okay, God, we believe in you, we're doing you a great favor by believing in you, and you give us all the blessings, and we'll go on with our material life. And God, if they don't like to think about him too much, but if anyone asks, they'll say, yeah, well, God, you see, it's just some idea or some power somewhere distant, or it's everywhere, but nothing very specific, not vyakta rupa, not a manifest form, not a person who tells you, sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Now you give up all your nonsense ideas and surrender to me. No, it's just everywhere and as you like him. God is available to everyone as much as you like him, whenever you like, however you like. This is the kind of God that people like. Adrishya. And they'll say, see, the deity in the temple, just a symbol, not really God. And you can believe in God in any way you like, and so it's all the same, and in this way make him very vague and no specific form. See, any form, it's all God, it's all the same. So in this way, if we say that all God is whatever form you like him to be in, according to your own liking, then by doing that, we minimize the actual person who is Krishna, who is his specific form. It's just like if there's a group of children. The group of children, but each one has their own specific mother. So if the mother, she knows she has a specific child, she thinks, well, they're all the same. So one day I'll take one child home, another day I'll take another child home from school. They're all the same. They're all children, they're all the same. So it doesn't matter, they're all the same. It doesn't matter. Then where's that close relationship between the child and the mother? You see, the mother sees there are so many children, but my child is very important to me. That particular child, which with the specific bodily construction and facial features and personality traits and likes and dislikes. So Krishna, he's a specific person with a specific form and specific personality traits and likes and dislikes, and we have to take Krishna as he is. which means a specific person. We can't just minimize God and just say, well, nirvishesh, he doesn't have any specific characteristics. This is a great insult. It means that we want to ignore him. Our only relationship with God is that we pray to him and he gives us what we want. So, okay, we pray to God, okay, he gave something. Now shut up and keep quiet. And I'll come back in another week and I'll offer a little more incense and you give me more blessings. So this is not a proper attitude. We have to accept he is a person and his form is not imaginary. It's not avyakta. It's not avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya. Krishna says that those who think that this form that I'm speaking to you, Arjuna, that this form is just actually the real highest truth is avyakta, unmanifest. But this form is just some kind of thing which popped out of the unmanifest. But the real truth is unmanifest. So those who think like that, Krishna says, they are abuddhaya, which means they're foolish. They're not intelligent. Parambhava jananto mamavyayam anuttamam. They don't recognize that me, Krishna, the person, the very person speaking to you with two eyes, two arms, blackish form, transcendental form. This is Krishna. He is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam. He is the Supreme Personality. He is the Supreme Brahma. There is no truth higher to Krishna, higher than Krishna. So he is Vyakta Rupa. He's not some avyakta. He is manifest. We may deny that he is manifest, but he is manifest. He is real. His form is real. It's not something imagined or something that we can imagine away. We may think that God is invisible. God is invisible. Thank God. God is invisible. We don't want God as a person. It's too much. I want to have my personality dominant. But if God's personality, he's a person, that means he's dominant because he's supreme. But if we want to make God impersonal, unmanifest, that means that we keep our personality as dominant. So this is all, to use that word which Srila Prabhupada often used, rascaldom. This idea that the Supreme is not, has no manifest form. So this name, Vyakta Rupa, is very important to understand. All the devotees, they want to serve the form of Krishna, not the impersonal. They're not attracted to that. So, name 307 is Sahasrajit. Name 308 is Anantajit. Jit both gives the idea of a conqueror. Sahasrajit, he conquers thousands. Often the word Sahasra, thousand, is used to mean many, 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 many. So Sahasrajit, it's actually Anantajit. He conquers thousands. He conquers unlimited. So, unlimited numbers of people. So, this name is Vishnu Sahasranam. So, it's applicable to all forms of Vishnu. He comes yada yada hi dharmasya vinashayata dushkritam. He destroys the rascals. So, whatever he does in a big way. So, he kills thousands, millions of rascals. But this name, Baladev Vidyabhushan has said, is in these two names, are in relation to Kalki Avatar. So his main purpose of his descent is killing, 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 killing. Now, the Ramanuja Sampradaya commentator says this name is the name of the baby Krishna, Shishu Krishna, on the banyan leaf. So he also conquers the hearts of his devotees by this charming form. We are all conquered by Krishna. If we defy Krishna, we are defeated by him, by his external energy. We see Durga, 10 hands with 10 weapons, all fit to kill. So she is deputed on behalf of Krishna to kill the rascals. So either we're killed again and again and again, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Again and again we're born, again and again we die. Sometimes people, as I got in an argument once with a Christian, say, see, ah, Jesus, he's the Prince of Peace, but your Krishna is killing everyone. I said, but everyone who's dying is killed by God, either directly or indirectly. Now, so Krishna, when he kills, that's his mercy on them. So, we can either be killed by Krishna's external energy, or if we can be conquered by, enthralled by his beauty, by his qualities. Anyway, we're subordinate. We're always conquered by Krishna. Is that correct? He's called Ajit, unconquered. But then he can be conquered by love. Sthane sthita shrutigatang tanuvang manobir ye prayasho jichadita apitai strilokya. One who goes on hearing about Krishna and dedicating himself, mind, body and words in his service, conquers Krishna, who is unconquerable or unconquered. Ajay means Ajay Ajit. Unconquerable, unconquered. There's a story in the Nrsimha Purana that Prahlad Maharaj, he was out going in his kingdom and he came across some person who challenged him. And they fought, and he was very powerful, son of Hiranyakashipu. So they were fighting and fighting, and Prahlad became successful, and then that person revealed himself as Narayana. And Prahlad said that, oh, it's not very good that I conquered you. You're supposed to be God. And Narayana said, I'm always conquered by you. So he conquers over everyone, but he agrees to be conquered by overcome by the love of his devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right, that's all I'm going to do for now. Any question about any of this? Is this what was given to us in the airport? Some French woman gave us some water. How did that get through the security? They're not supposed to allow water. Any question? If not, then Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Many people have this conception that Krishna came in a human form. But it is always said that
Krishna
descends in his own form. So how do we understand
human form? Krishna comes in a human form. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote from the Bible where it said that God created man in his own image. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is, what is that? Madhurja Bhagavata Shah. What is that? Krishna Jate Kela Sarvatam Naralila Narabapu Taha Sharup. It's stated that among all Krishna's pastimes, the best are those in his man-like forms, and they are his actual intrinsic form. So, it's not that God appears as a human, but rather that is his intrinsic form, and there's this idea of anthropomorphism, that humans have imagined God to be like them. But rather we are, the human form is modeled after the form of God, not that his form is modeled after ours. That's how it should be understood. It's not because we think of God that we think of him as a human, but that is the form in the spiritual world. He has that form, and all so many of his associates also have that form to have pastimes with him.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have one question.
Yeah, Jigesh Karun.
Hare Krishna.
That's the answer. What's the question?
The question is just to understand a little more. We have seen that Pundarik Vidyanidhi, by Jagannath and Balaram, when he had some thoughts which are not congenial to the God, he came and slapped.
I'll fill in the story. There's Uran Shashti is one festival in Puri in which Jagannath and Baladev are offered cloth with starch in it to make it rice. The rice water is used. Mar, that's called in Bengali. It's called. So that makes the cloth a little stiff, but that's considered impure. You're not supposed to. You can't use cloth with starch for doing any yajna or puja. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw that this cloth was being offered to Jagannath and Baladev, he, coming back from the temple, he said to Swarup Damodar, his intimate friend and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate servant, that this isn't right, they shouldn't do that, that's against the rules of Shastra. And Swarup Damodar says, no, you shouldn't say that, that's the way they do it here. So, that evening in a dream, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, He saw Jagannath and Baladev coming to him angrily and saying, "Hey, why are you criticizing them? Why are you criticizing us and our servitors? We're not impure, we're God. We like to wear cloth." And then they beat him, slapped him on the face again and again. So then he woke up in the morning and found his face is all bruised. So, what's the question?
We could understand that Jagannath is so merciful, he can rectify his devotees, whenever he likes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pastimes, so we don't see anything.
You don't see him beating anyone.
Yes.
You don't see Jagannath is rectifying. He doesn't have to rectify Pundarik Vidyanidhi by beating him, but Pundarik was very happy. He said, oh, they personally came and beat me. They're so much concerned. We don't find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes him chastising anyone physically. Well, he almost did with Jagai and Madhai, but only because Nitai restrained him. But then Nitai himself, there was the case of when they were all traveling to Puri and Shivananda Sen was organizing all the prasad for them, but one time Shivananda Sen got delayed because some tax booth collector, he was trying to extort extra money from Shivananda, so Shivananda became delayed and Nityananda was waiting hungrily, and then when Shivananda eventually came, Nitai kicked him in the chest and said, I'm starving, you didn't give me any food. So, Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai, well, he does get angry sometimes. So, he said, I cursed your whole family to die. And Shivananda, well, he said before Shivananda came, he said, I curse his whole family. And Shivananda's wife was very upset and his nephew was very upset, but Shivananda thought, oh, this is great. He's accepted me as his maintainer. He can eat the whole world, he can arrange for the whole world to be created, maintained and destroyed, but he's taken the position that he's dependent on me. So Shivananda was very happy. So sometimes in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a little violence also, not much. Why? Why does Krishna do everything? Everything Krishna does is for enhancing the pleasure of his devotees. Hare Krishna! Alright, that's all for now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Ki Jai. Vedaham Etam Parama.